need you here on my mind every hour of the day. Without your sweet inspiration,
it's Tuesday night. It's 7 p.m. on the West Coast, which means, of course, it's time for the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. This is Tammy Jackson welcoming you to 60 minutes of sweet conservative inspiration. You can interact, if you care to, with comments and questions on Twitter during the show, and you can use the hashtag #TJRS, but especially use my name, which is at Tammy J, T-A-M-I-J. Might as well follow me and keep up to date with what's happening here. My first guest tonight is Phil Kirpin. Phil Kirpin is president of American Commitment, a nationally syndicated columnist, chairman of the Internet Freedom Coalition, which is going to be especially important tonight, and he's author of Democracy Denied. He's also worked as an analyst and researcher for the Free Enterprise Fund, the Club for Growth, and the Cato Institute. Phil Kirpin, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Tammy, great to be with you. It is 10 o'clock for me, so I'm trying to stay as alert and awake as I can for you.
Okay, I'll do what I can. I won't hold you over for the full hour, but I've got you for this half hour. And this is a real important topic we're going to be talking about tonight. I wanted you to be on to talk about this whole net neutrality fiasco. A lot of people have heard about this. They've heard the net neutrality bandied about here and there. And the left, the mainstream media, makes it sound like an urgent deal. And you have an article that is up at AmericanCommitment.org titled The Net Neutrality Noise Machine. Of course, I've got it linked on the show post. So anybody listening on the show post, you can see the link there after the show. You can go to the article and read it for yourself. It's a good article that will explain things for you. In Phil Kirpin's article, The Net Neutrality Noise Machine, he begins, "For over a decade, professional liberal organizers and agitators, backed by a tidal wave of big liberal foundations and Silicon Valley corporate money, have told a bizarre, scary story that without heavy-handed government regulation, Internet service providers, or ESPs, will start blocking what websites you can go to and impeding free speech on the Internet. No such thing happened in the approximately two decades that ISPs were unregulated information services under the 1996 Telecom Act. Indeed, the opposite occurred as robust competition between phone and cable companies and later wireless companies drove speeds dramatically higher and consumers benefited from an internet that innovated beyond wildest dreams." Now, Phil, talk a little bit about the Telecommunications Act of 1996, which was the big overhaul of the Communications Act of 1934. Talk about those two. Give us a little history here, would you?
Yeah, the 96 Act was really the legislation, the big policy change that kind of made the Internet into what we know now, into sort of what it's become. Before that, it was more for hobbyists, government researchers, universities, people maybe they were on a local ISP of some kind with some kind of dial-up that had a few limited features, but it really had not been commercialized. And what happened in the mid-90s with the 96 Act and with the regulations that followed that is there was a decision to basically privatize and commercialize the Internet and to, from a regulatory standpoint, take a hands-off approach. And the government very intelligently, and this was actually the Clinton administration at the time, which is remarkable given where the Democrats are on these issues now, the Clinton administration at the time and their FCC, led by Bill Kennard, basically said, look, we don't know where this thing's going. We don't know how this technology is going to develop. And so we are not going to impose all of the rules and regulations and restrictions that were developed for the old Ma Bell telephone system in the 1930s on this new technology, on this new network that's very different and it's early and we don't know where it's going. And, you know, let's take this hands-off approach and let the Internet develop without government interference, regulation, or control. And that basically was the approach for almost 20 years, and it was bipartisan, and everyone kind of agreed with it. And there was this idea of net neutrality, which back then really didn't mean anything having to do with regulation. It just meant, as an engineering principle, you ought to be able to attach any lawful device or application to the network, and it ought to be able to communicate with whatever's on the other end that it's trying to communicate with. And everyone agreed with that, basically, for the most part. And there were, we had about as close to a total bipartisan consensus as you're ever going to have on any issue, that the government shouldn't regulate the Internet. Let's leave this alone and see what happens. And that changed a lot over the past 10 years or so in particular. The liberal groups started getting a huge amount of money from George Soros' Open Society Institute and the Ford Foundation and some of these big Silicon Valley companies, Google and others. They started saying that what we really need to make the Internet work well and to save us from these evil phone and cable companies is for the government to come in and regulate the Internet like the old Mobil phone system, to basically do the opposite of what the Clinton administration decided not to do back in the 1990s. And they sort of redefined what net neutrality means. Instead of meaning what it had always meant, sort of users should be able to attach any lawful device or application they want and do the things that they want, and users should be in charge. That's what that used to mean as a term. They started to use it to mean we should have government regulation. And they just sort of changed the meaning of net neutrality to mean, you know, heavy-handed government regulation. And the left is very good at doing this. They take something that sort of everyone agreed on, and then they redefine it as something that they want, and then they attack you for being against what everyone had previously agreed on, which they have now redefined. And even as recently as 2015, you know, the experts in 2014, the Democrats at the FCC were still rejecting this approach that these liberal groups were pushing for, and you know, they were kind of saying, "Yeah, this isn't a good idea to take regulations designed for the old Mobil phone system, where regulators and bureaucrats are going to be in charge of every product and service, what's allowed, what's not allowed, micromanaging. They're going to have the FCC Enforcement Bureau looking at everything." They kind of said, "This is not the direction we should go in," and they were not going to go into it in that direction until, you know, the 2014 election happened and Republicans won the Senate. And Democrats were dispirited, and the political people in the White House said, "We need to do something to pump up our base and to lift their spirits and show that we're still out there fighting for the left." And the Obama White House basically overruled the FCC, which is supposed to be an independent agency. President Obama put out this video basically demanding that they reclassify the Internet as a regulated public utility, apply all these old telephone laws for the first time to the Internet. The FCC went ahead and did that in 2015, so they sort of ended those two decades of kind of free market, unregulated Internet, and they voted for very heavy-handed regulation, and they were already starting to do things that have now been stopped in reverse, but they were already starting to do things like they wanted to ban sponsored data. You know, T-Mobile has some very popular products where you could get, say, download unlimited music or watch baseball, or they play Pokemon Go. They have all these different products. You can pick something and it doesn't count against your data cap. Very popular, very, you know, pro-user. The consumer gets to decide whether they want it or not. Under the old definition of net neutrality, that would have been precisely the kind of thing we'd be in favor of. Well, the FCC was going to ban that under these rules that they had adopted if Trump hadn't won the election. They were prepared to adopt a huge new tax on your broadband bill, which they legally can do under these regulations. They can expand universal service fund taxes to your Internet bill. They were going to start to really micromanage every aspect of the network. They had thousands of complaints at the FCC Enforcement Bureau. They were going to start to work through one by one. We were already seeing a significant decline in private investment, because how do you spend billions of dollars building a network when you don't know what you're going to be allowed to do with it, whether you're going to be able to earn a return on investment? And so we've seen investment go down. We've seen job losses. They were already starting to move in the direction of banning popular products and services, and they were probably moving towards a very large tax increase. And I think things were going to get much, much worse with these vast powers the FCC had created for itself, had voted for itself, if we had another Democratic administration. Now, we don't, Tammy. We've got a Republican administration. And
thank God.
And Ajit Pai, who was one of the two Republicans who dissented from that 2015 order, it was a 3-2 party line vote, is now the chairman. And so he announced last week that he is going to reverse this and go back to what everyone agreed on for 20 years, which is a very lightly regulated free market approach to the internet, to go back to that bipartisan consensus. But of course, you know, Democrats aren't going to let that happen easily. These liberal interest groups that have, you know, vast amounts of money aren't going to let that happen easily. And so they're going to have a massive, massive public relations distortion smear campaign to say that, you know, evil Republicans want to destroy the internet and the phone and cable companies are going to ruin everything. And, you know, I mean, who knows how bad it's going to get. But people are going to start to see all kinds of videos and snide quotes from late-night comedians and nasty pictures, you know, all of the everything that these groups do, and it's going to be everywhere for months. And, you know, the first vote to start this process is supposed to be May 18th, and then they'll have a public comment period, and then they'll have additional votes. At some point, the Democrat on the FCC will probably resign and deny them a quorum, and then we'll have to have the fight in the Senate about filling the commission slots. I mean, this is going to be a huge, huge slugfest because these liberal groups have, you know, essentially unlimited money, and they think this is a great political organizing opportunity. And, you know, they get to bash, like, the most hated companies in America. You're bashing, like, Comcast and Verizon and whatever. Well, that's pretty good for signing people up and getting donations and everything else. So
yes.
This is what we have in store for us. But there's no doubt, and there should be no doubt in the minds of any of your listeners or any conservatives or anyone who's free market or anyone who supports this president. I mean, just there should be no doubt that what the FCC is doing is the right thing, and we got to have their back, and we got to push back when we see what I think is going to be a huge onslaught from the left pretty much everywhere.
It is. Now it was kind of interesting, and I didn't really realize this till I read your article, The Net Neutrality Noise Machine, but the Silicon Valley uber liberal groups, they had quite an influence on Obama because they had a number of people in his administration.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen anything like the extent that Google dominated the Obama administration. There was a study done by the Franklin Center at watchdog.org, and they actually went through the personnel records in the Obama administration and found over 250 personnel rotated back and forth between Google and the Obama administration. And so we've really never seen a company so thoroughly dominated. And, of course, Eric Schmidt famously helped design the data infrastructure of the Obama campaigns. He actually wrote the Hillary Clinton campaign plan. So if you can believe it, they might have been even more closely intertwined in a Clinton administration, a second Clinton administration, if such a thing had occurred. But Google is used to getting whatever they want. And, you know, I talked about the ideological, you know, hard left foundation money that was behind a lot of this. And there's a neo-Marxist group called Free Press that's been a major, major player in this. It's actually founded by an outspoken Marxist who says he wants to destroy capitalism and all that kind of stuff. But there's also this other aspect of the push for this, which is some very big companies that see regulation as a way to pad their bottom line and to seize you know, market capitalization from their competitors, essentially. And, you know, the two big corporations that were pushing for these rules were Google and Netflix. And the reason they pushed for them is Google owns YouTube.
Yes.
And Netflix and YouTube, because they stream video, which is extremely bandwidth intensive, between those two companies, they account in many markets in prime time for as much as half of all internet traffic downstream bandwidth to users. And, you know, in the absence of regulation, if we had a free market, it's possible that some ISPs would try a business model where they create a two-sided market, where they ask for the companies that are serving the content to pay for some part of the transport costs so that they don't have to put it all on the bills of the end consumers. And nobody knows for sure if that kind of a two-sided market would make sense, if it would work as a business model or what have you. But people kind of were talking about maybe experimenting with it. And, you know, Netflix and Google were thinking, hey, why don't we just get government to prohibit that business model from regulation that says the only people who can pay are the end consumers, and then there's no risk that we'll have to pay for consuming up to 50% of downstream bandwidth. And that was a major thrust behind this, was to sort of insulate Google from potentially having to pay for its downstream bandwidth consumption. And so you have this sort of you know, this coalition of the ideological hard left and some self-interested corporations that were set up to benefit from this. And, you know, between those two things, they had a very potent combination, and they still have it. And they're going to be fighting back as we undo their handiwork.
Wow. This is a pretty darn interesting. I'm talking to Phil Kirpin. We're talking about his article, The Net Neutrality Noise Machine, and we'll be talking about this on the other side of the break as Phil Kirpin continues to break down the net neutrality boondoggle. The Tammy Jackson Show is sponsored by Robar Guns, a true custom firearms and firearms finishing shop. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona. You can find them online at robarguns.com. I tell you every week, Robar can give your worn firearm new life. They have several custom firearms if there are people out there that want truly the best of the best. And something else that Robar has that I've never told you about yet, but I have one of these. They have some great and indispensable accessories, such as the Combat Optic Tool. This is a great tool. I have it. It's small. It can fit in your go bag or your bug out bag. This little tool, it's small. It's light. It works with ACOGs, aim points, EOT techs, LCANs, and other combat optics. It has a half moon driver for elevation and windage adjustment, and it's got the two nubs that are needed to do windage and elevation for the micro T1s. It also has a 3/8 inch and 10 millimeter box wrench to tighten the mounts. Also, most importantly, it has a bottle opener on one end for the cold beverage after a hot day at the range. It's pretty great, huh? Every shooter needs a combat optic tool in their range bag. So whether you need to give your worn firearm new life, whether you want a new custom pistol or rifle, or you need, and y'all do need, the combat optic tool, check out my friends, robarguns.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you. Gang of 405, live on the 405media.com. Join John Grant on the West Coast, Tammy Jackson in Oregon, and Scott Jones in Texas.
There was a kid who set a fire in the middle of the street, and he asked him why he did, and he said because he felt like it, and then looked in the camera and said, screw the president.
That kid needs a whooping.
Why in the wide, wide world of sports do you let your kid run off down the street and start fires?
Because where's the parents and bad parenting, and
yeah,
it turns
exactly
out that he drove Carrie.
Well, his dad was down the street emceeing an inaugural event. Oh. Well, Drew Carey is a Gary Johnson guy, so you can bet your patootie that around the Drew Carey house, there was a lot of nasty things said about Donald Trump.
The kid needs an ass whooping, and he needs one yesterday.
Spare the rod and spoil the libertarian, I always say. The original and classic Gang of 405. Saturday mornings, live, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, only on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast. It's all about tech, and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
Tammy Jackson with my guest, Phil Kirpin. If you're just joining the show, Phil Kirpin is president of American Commitment, a nationally syndicated columnist, chairman of the Internet Freedom Coalition, and author of Democracy Denied. You want to get a copy of that for sure. Phil Kirpin and I, before the break, we're talking about his article, The Net Neutrality Noise Machine. It is linked on the show page, so after the show, be sure and go there and read it in its entirety. But there's a quote, there's some quotes in there that I want to read, Phil. We talked about this over the break, and then you can expound on this. But you write, the liberal organizers of the phony net neutrality scare campaign had even bigger plans. Robert McChesney, the founder of Free Press, the group that was cited 46 times in the Obama net neutrality order, openly bragged, at the moment, the battle over the network neutrality is not to completely eliminate the telephone and cable companies. We are not at that point yet, but the ultimate goal is to get rid of the media capitalists in the phone and cable companies and to divest them from control. McChesney also said, in the end, there is no real answer but to remove brick by brick the capitalist system itself, rebuilding the entire society on socialist principles. Wow. That is breathtaking, Phil Kirpin.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible because this guy, Robert McChesney, he's an avowed Marxist, obviously, a college professor, I believe, at the University of Illinois currently. I think he used to be at the University of Wisconsin, where, you know, where you sort of expect these crazy sorts of ideas to originate.
Right.
But the thing about him is, you know, he founded this group, Free Press, and he's still on their board of directors. He'd had his most recent, you know, Marxist book came out, they Free Press threw a big party for him and all this kind of thing. And so, I mean, he's the founder, he's a board member, they love him, they honor him, they you know, he speaks at all their events, all this kind of thing. But whenever you point out these quotes, they say, oh, you're trying to smear us, you're red baiting, why? And so, but he founded your organization. He said this is the mission. If this is not the mission, why do you work for the organization he founded? And then you sort of see these bizarre things. So, like, you know, the New York Times just did this editorial about, you know, attacking, you know, the current FCC chairman, Ajit Pai, and, you know, how dare he reverse what the Obama administration did, and, you know, all of his claims about how regulation is decreasing investment are false, because we have a report here from Free Press saying that actually regulation is really good for private investment. And, like, you read this stuff in the New York Times, and you're like, okay, wait a second. So you're going to a group founded by an avowed Marxist that says their goal is to divest private companies from control, and that's the source that you're using for the claim that actually government regulation is good for private investment. It's just totally bizarre. These are the guys who think the government should own and control everything, but we're taking their word for what's good for private investment?
Right.
Well,
right.
The New York Times editorial page is, anyway. But
yes.
My point is, I mean, these are the guys who've been out front pushing this the whole time, constantly.
Right.
And then trying to say that actually, you know, it's good for, you know, more regulation is somehow good for investment and job creation and everything else. And then you sort of look, you peek behind the curtain and you see this Marxist saying, no, actually the goal is to destroy the capitalist system.
Right, right. Well, and it's funny, we were talking about this also during the break, that people were initially uncomfortable calling Obama and the progressives what they were, which is socialists, or at times they're just unadulterated Marxists. But it's incontrovertible. Bernie is not the only socialist. Hillary and Soros and all the rest of the big-name Democrats are at least socialist, if not Marxist. We know that this is what they want, and it's absolutely true. You know, and I saw that Ajit Pai, that he had argued that the rules were too burdensome and that they would stifle innovation and competition. And it's interesting that on PBS, they talked about him as if his plans were dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty interesting, right? I mean, yeah, for 20 years, everyone basically agreed that a free market internet was a good idea. We should take a hands-off approach and let this technology develop. And everyone thought it was good. Everyone thought it succeeded. Everyone was in favor of it, right? Then the Obama administration, you know, urged by these liberal groups, in some cases avowed socialists and all these other, you know, special interests who stood to benefit, they say, no, we're going to have heavily regulated internet. We're using old rules developed for the Ma Bell phone system in the 1930s. And we come in, you know, Republicans come in, take over the FCC, you know, 2 years after that happened, says, let's go back to the way it was for 20 years when the internet became everything that it is today. And somehow to the left and to the media and to the PBS and the New York Times, saying we're going to go back to what everyone agreed on for 20 years is some crazy radical idea. And that's how they try to paint it.
Yes.
When in fact, the radical idea is the deviation from what we all agreed on for so long that was imposed by the left with really negative consequences that we're already starting to see, and with, of course, as I explained last segment, a lot of other much more negative consequences that we would be seeing if the Democrats were still in charge. They would be outright banning products and services they don't like and putting new taxes on and all kinds of other nonsense to micromanage every aspect of the Internet.
And yet they try to say that they're for the little guy. I don't understand that, because everything goes downstream. And when you say no unlimited data, et cetera, which I have on my plan, I immediately say, wait a minute. In your article, The Net Neutrality Noise Machine, Phil, you write, the PI plan will probably relinquish authority from his own agency to the Federal Trade Commission, which has far better expertise in consumer protection and competition issues. So in the last minute we've got left, why is that a better thing for the FTC to have that?
Well, I think the area where this is most important is the area of privacy protection and data security. And
right.
The Federal Trade Commission really is the best law enforcement agency where it comes to privacy and data security. They brought over 250 enforcement actions over the years. They've got just enormous expertise and institutional knowledge for making sure that violations of data privacy are identified and punished. And one of the really interesting aspects of what the FCC did in this order, in this 2015 order to regulate the Internet, is when they reduced the Internet from a free market to a regulated public utility, there's an exemption in the Federal Trade Commission Act that says that the FTC cannot regulate public utilities. And so when they did that back in 2015, they were imposing all of this FCC regulation and all of this micromanaging of the network, but they preempted the FTC's authority to enforce data security and privacy protections. And that's what led to this whole fight we saw in Congress, where they said, you know, actually we want to overturn what the FCC did and send that back to the FTC. And everyone sort of, you know, the media went crazy and acted like Republicans didn't want to have any protections, when in fact what they were trying to do, and they did a horrible job explaining it, is they were trying to restore the protections that had always existed until 2015 and give that back to the FTC, where they actually have expertise and experience in enforcing violations of data security and privacy. And so under this plan, that goes back to the FTC. It goes back to the way that it always was until 2015. And I also think that some of these other theoretical issues that people have used as excuses for regulation, you know, the phone company's going to block what website you can go to and redirect traffic to its own captive site or block speech or all this kind of thing, you know, to the extent that such a thing would ever happen, and I doubt it ever would, there are existing authorities for the FTC and state attorneys general to be able to address that kind of thing. And so what the FCC is proposing to do, in effect, by reversing a power grab that took kind of all these issues and brought it to them, they're giving the authority back to the more appropriate law enforcement agencies. And instead of saying, look, we're going to regulate the Internet from a standpoint of centralized control and prescriptive rules where we're in charge and we tell everyone what they can and can't do, we're going to go back to more of a law enforcement approach, where if somebody actually does something that violates another user's rights or, you know, exposes their information inappropriately or whatever, you would have a law enforcement response either at the federal level through the Federal Trade Commission or, you know, at state law enforcement level. And so part of what makes this so unusual and unique and encouraging is that we're actually having an agency propose dramatically reducing its own power. And that's something we haven't seen a lot of.
That's unheard of. Hey, Phil Kirpin, thanks for taking the time to clarify this issue. Everybody needs to read after the show. Click on it, The Net Neutrality Noise Machine. We need to know what this entails. We need to know what's going on behind the scenes back there. Follow Phil Kirpin on Twitter at Kirpin, K-E-R-P-E-N. Thanks for taking the time to be on the show tonight, Phil. I always appreciate what you have to say.
My pleasure, Tammy. Have a good one.
You too. You're listening to The Tammy Jackson Show on The 405. I'll be back on the other side of the break with Alliance Defending Freedom legal counsel Kelly Fedorik. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Rent-A-Computer. An agent from Rent-A-Computer can save your company time and money on your next short-term need for a computer, audiovisual, or office equipment rental. Rent-A-Computer.com delivers the rental hardware your event needs to your office, trade show booth, or event venue location anywhere in the United States or Canada. Their offerings include Apple iPads, iPhones, Microsoft Surface tablets, even copiers. If you're planning your next corporate event, remember, rentacomputer.com provides superior turnkey event rental service with only one point of contact for clients both large and small. Visit rentacomputer.com or call them at 800-736-8772. That's rentacomputer.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
On the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you. Pops Radio, short for Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, with Scott Jones on the 405media.com.
Brett Baer, thanks for joining us from Washington.
Hey, great to be here.
Tom Rogan, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
Cheryl Atkinson, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Is Washington just totally dysfunctional? I mean, to me, this is just unprecedented, Cheryl.
These ties are so deep now, and so at least giving the appearance of corruption, I think people have come to just kind of throw up their hands and distrust nearly every official establishment body.
And your words here on our air today should be horrifying, if not motivating, for anyone who's sitting on the fence about this.
Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, Monday, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, only on the 405media.com.
On the 405.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000 or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
The 405.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
The 405.
The Gang of 405, live on the 405media.com. Join John Grant on the West Coast, Tammy Jackson in Oregon, and Scott Jones in Texas.
Broader America is hip to the game, and they're tired of it.
That is spot on. You guys probably remember, for instance, there was a homeschool Christian family from, was it Germany?
Germany.
That they wouldn't allow to come to the United States.
There's not a single Christian in the Jordanian camps for Syrian refugees.
It seems like the Democrats are hell-bent and will go to the mat to protect any foreigner, any immigrant.
ISIS is, in effect, running the immigration or refugee program for Italy right now because they decide who gets on the boat and goes across the Mediterranean seas. The original and classic Gang of 405. Saturday mornings, live, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, only on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics could be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
Hey, what's up? This is Glef speaking for Rad. Give up the keys. Choose a designated driver. Music lives. So should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hey, I'm a little bit past halfway through the show right now. We have been running around the United States trying to look for my second guest, who we have been unable to find. We will perhaps try to find her a little later on in this show. My guest was supposed to be Kelly Fedorick. Kelly Fedorick serves as legal counsel with Alliance Defending Freedom, where she is a member of the Alliance Advancement Team. Since joining ADF in 2012, Fedorick has defended religious liberty, marriage, and the family against legal attacks. She has authored federal and state legislation and advised members of Congress, governors, state attorneys general, state legislators, and policy organizations on how to preserve First Amendment freedoms. So Kelly Fedorick was supposed to be my guest. We can't find her yet. And I'll tell you what I was going to talk to her about. There's a lot of stuff going on right now concerning abortion because of what we have heard from the Democratic Party, in particular, the DNC chairman, Tom Perez. A lot of you heard his rant on the air. Those of you that have any kind of sensitivities whatsoever that are conservative did not like the rant that you heard because it was laced with a lot of profanities. It was about as blue as it can get. But one of the things that he has said recently is that the Democratic Party was a pro-choice party, pretty much off limits for those that might be pro-life. How about that? Pretty amazing. Now, we know that the platforms are entirely different between the two parties. The Republican platform is the most conservative platform the GOP has ever had. It is for natural marriage. It is pro-life. It is pro-military. It is pro-national sovereignty. You name it. If it's a conservative value, it is in the current Republican platform. It's a excellent, excellent platform, and I was so heartened when I saw the final draft. On the other hand, in direct opposition, in the opposing corner, is the Democratic platform, which is against everything the Republican Party is for. They are anti-life. They are anti-national sovereignty. They do not want a fence on the border. They want open borders. They want every illegal alien possible to flood into this country. Because what happens when they come in? Typically, the Dems get in touch with them. They tell them how they can get free stuff, stay on board, and keep voting for the Democratic Party, which has now become socialists are us. Absolutely. Now, there was an article I wanted to talk to Kelly about tonight, which unfortunately, since she's not here, I don't know where she is. I know there's probably a good excuse because she is an amazing lawyer. She works with Alliance Defending Freedom. Those people are rock solid people. So something's happened somewhere. Who knows? Oftentimes they're preparing for cases, even cases before the Supreme Court, like we saw with the Trinity Lutheran v. Comer case. They were the people that argued for Trinity Lutheran in that case. They're in on a lot of these religious liberty cases. But there was an article up at Politico that was very interesting. It was titled, Social Conservatives Are Over the Moon About Trump. It's written by Tim Alberta, if you want to look it up. The subtitle, nearly 100 days into his presidency, Donald Trump has become the unlikely champion of the Christian right. Let me read a little bit as it starts here. On the eighth floor of the Marriott Marquis in Times Square, Marjorie Dannenfelser stabbed anxiously at a plate of salad while offering a series of defensive and unconvincing answers. It was June of last year, and Dannenfelser, a social conservative titan and president of the anti-abortion group Susan B. Anthony List, was one of nearly 1,000 Christian activists to attend a summit that afternoon with the presumptive Republican presidential nominee. Now, he goes on to describe this gal, this Marjorie Dannenfelser, and this particular summit with about 1,000, they weren't Christian activists so much as Christian leaders. They were conservatives. And there were some Catholics there as well. They were having this private meeting with Trump. And he did this on, it was his invitation. He wanted to do this. He wanted to answer their questions because he knew that many of the social conservatives did not want him as their first choice. And I was one of those people. He was not my first choice. He was not my second choice. He was not my third choice. But in the end, what happened was we were left with a binary choice. We had Donald Trump on one hand, and we had Hillary Clinton on the other hand. What I told many people, including one of my brothers who I love dearly, who does not even to this day have a lot of affection for Donald Trump, although he liked his speech to the joint session of Congress. But otherwise, there are a lot of things my brother takes issue with. But what I tell people when they say, how can we trust him to govern in a pro-life manner, in a pro-marriage family, in a pro-America, and a pro-military manner, how can we trust him? I say, I don't know. He is untested, or at least he was. But what we knew was we could trust Hillary to govern in a anti-life, an anti-military, an anti-national sovereignty, a pro-LGBT manner. That's what we could trust. So when you looked at the two choices, of course, we went with Donald Trump. That's what happened. Well, since he's been in office, he's been doing some fabulous things. And some of this we foresaw at this meeting in New York City with all these conservatives, which is pretty interesting stuff. In the article that I was just quoting is a quote here, once a punchline in conservative circles and a walking worst case scenario for many on the religious right, Trump has emerged in the early days of his administration as something else entirely, a crusader for traditional social values. And then the article also quotes Ralph Reed. Many of you conservatives know who Ralph is. He's been around forever. He's looked like a kid forever. He still kind of does. He said, how ironic it is that ironic that Donald Trump, of all people in the Republican Party, would become a champion for social conservatives. Now, I had friends, as I said, who were at that meeting. They were very encouraged. But since then, Donald Trump has done things that encourage us even more. We know that we can judge a president not so much by what they campaign on, but what they do when they're in office. Many presidents say they're going to be for marriage, they're going to be for life, they're going to be for a number of things. But once they get into office, they start doing all manner of unconservative, unethical things. Now with Donald Trump, what did he do? On the 23rd of January, 2017, just 3 days after taking the oath of office, President Trump signed a presidential memorandum regarding the Mexico City policy. And this is part of what it said. Listen to this. I hereby revoke the presidential memorandum of January 23, 2009 for the Secretary of State and the Administrator of the United States Agency for International Development, also called Mexico City Policy and Assistance for Voluntary Population Planning, and reinstate the presidential memorandum of January 22, 2001 for the Administrator of the United States Agency for International Development, restoration of the Mexico City policy. I further direct the Secretary of State to take all necessary actions to the extent permitted by law to ensure the U.S. taxpayer dollars do not fund organizations or programs that support or participate in the management of a program of coercive abortion or involuntary sterilization. That was huge. The fact that he rolled that back, restored the Mexico City policy, it was fabulous. This was a signal to conservatives across the nation that, yeah, I promised you I was going to be pro-life, and by golly, he was. He signed legislation that routes federal money away from Planned Parenthood. He cut off the funding to the UN Population Fund, and then President Trump nominated Judge Neil Gorsuch, now Justice Neil Gorsuch, to the U.S. Supreme Court. He appointed Tom Price to HHS. Tom Price is a pro-life stalwart. And, of course, he chose Mike Pence as his vice president, Pence being a conservative, pro-life, evangelical Christian. So in this day and age, what's going on is an absolute conflict between life and death. Believe it. That's where we're at in this nation. There are people on the side of death. That would be the Democrats and their pro-abortion platform that they have. In fact, most of the women's marches, the big thing that they were for was abortion. Do you know that in many of the women's marches around the nation, including the big one in Washington, D.C., they disallowed any groups that said they were feminists for life? Feminists could be there only if they were for abortion. Feminists for life were not wanted. They were told not to come to those marches. Pretty clear where they all stand. I'm going to be back after the break. I'm going to be talking about some things I was going to be talking to Kelly Fedoruk about that are really good that the Alliance Defending Freedom is fighting for. And I think you'll want to hear these points. I'll be back to wrap up the hour after the break. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Dispatch's website, found at johnbiver.com. Dispatch's is an absolute treasure trove of resources to inform and equip conservatives to fight and win the information war. That's Dispatch's at johnbiver.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
We're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you. Gang of 405, live on the 405media.com. Join John Grant on the West Coast, Tammy Jackson in Oregon, and Scott Jones in Texas.
Broader America is hip to the game, and they're tired of it.
That is spot on. You guys probably remember, for instance, there was a homeschool Christian family from, was it Germany?
Germany.
That they wouldn't allow to come to the United States.
There's not a single Christian in the Jordanian camps for Syrian refugees.
It seems like the Democrats are hell-bent and will go to the mat to protect any foreigner, any immigrant.
ISIS is, in effect, running the immigration or refugee program for Italy right now because they decide who gets on the boat and goes across the Mediterranean seas. The original and classic Gang of 405. Saturday mornings, live, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, only on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Welcome back for the final segment of the Tammy Jackson Show. I was supposed to be joined this half hour with a great guest, Kelly Fedoruk, but somehow she got lost. We could not find her, so you're just having to put up with me. I'm talking about everything I was going to talk to Kelly about. So we're talking about the Dems versus the Republicans, the pro-death party versus the pro-life party, what's going on right now? The thing is that the DNC chairman, Tom Perez, had a horrible rant. And one of the things he did say was that the Democratic Party is only pro-choice. You know, something else that he's been known to say, he says that no human being is illegal. And that's in response to the flood of illegal immigration that Trump's trying to stem. But it would seem the only human beings that are illegal and should be terminated, in Chairman Perez's view, would be pre-born humans. Yep, those are the ones he wants to get rid of. I've been talking about an article that's pretty interesting by Tim Alberta in Politico titled, "Social Conservatives Are Over the Moon About Trump." And it is pretty interesting because I think it comes down to the fact that our expectations were not exceptionally high with Trump, although as time went on, we started getting more and more hope that he was going to live up to his promises. And a big thing that he did that really invigorated the Republican Party and conservatives as a whole was the list of judges that he would draw from to fill Justice Scalia's empty seat on the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, by golly, he drew from that list and appointed Neil Gorsuch, who is a phenomenal judge and I believe will be a terrific justice that will be an originalist, a textualist, that will actually not try to use the whole living document thing that some of the liberal justices on the court use, where they read in their own feelings, their own wishes into a situation, and they never take the words at face value. So Trump has done a lot of good things, but there's some points we want to make that that people should know, they should understand. You're not going to get these talking points, and they are talking points, but you're not going to get these from mainstream media, because these are some facts that people need to know. First of all, most Americans favor common sense restrictions on abortions. Now, when they call up with these surveys and they ask you questions, are you pro-life or are you pro-choice? They give you the question in such a way, they frame it in such a way that people will answer one way or another often. They don't give you a really good question, because most people, if you talk to them about late-term abortions, most people think that's an anathema. If you describe it to them, if they don't know what it is, if they understand what it is, they're absolutely horrified and against it. Most people do not like the idea of late-term abortions. Most people, even Democrats, like the idea of parental notification. Can you imagine that our kids can't be given an aspirin at school without parental notification, without a note from the parents and an okay from the parents? But yet, kids can be given birth control items, they can be given all kinds of sex ed items, they can be transported to abortion clinics and where they get an abortion and transported back to a school or to a school sick room and the parents not told. There's something just absolutely wrong about that, but this is what's happening in the United States of America. So the fact is that most Americans, they favor common sense restriction on abortions. They don't want abortions with zero restrictions, which is what Obama wanted, which is what Hillary Clinton wanted. Hillary Clinton received the Margaret Sanger Award from Planned Parenthood in 2009. Margaret Sanger was the awful, heinous founder of Planned Parenthood. She was a eugenicist that believed in forced sterilizations to keep the races pure, to get rid of inferior people. She was the inspiration for the Nazis, for their forced sterilizations that they did, etc. Now, that's the award, that's the person, Hillary Clinton got the Margaret Sanger Award. Hillary Clinton said she was proud to have received the Margaret Sanger Award, that Margaret Sanger was a hero of hers. You see where I'm going with this? The Democratic Party is so far to the left, they are so heinous on some of these topics that, wow, how could anybody be part of them? Now, also, some other evidences, some facts that you ought to know. The evidence is indisputable that a preborn child is a human being. Also, to those who pretend there's still doubt, why do you err on the side of death? Now, when I talk to people, I say I'm pro-life, which means even those of you who are saying and shouting things about being pro-choice, I want your life to be protected. I want the mother's life to be protected, and I want the baby's life to be protected. I would think everybody would want people to err on the side of life, not on the side of death. When you go to a doctor, when you take your grandmother to a doctor, don't you want that doctor to do everything they can to err on the side of life? People usually do if you give them that choice. I believe, and most Americans believe, that every innocent life deserves to be protected. Another fact, pro-choice is anti-woman. Abortion is not it's not a one-time event. Women have testified. Research shows that it is an ongoing, painful struggle. I know this firsthand from friends of mine. Also, there are close ties between the DNC and the abortion industry that should concern women everywhere. And lastly, if you think the tobacco industry has glamorized dangerous behavior that leads to disease and death and is only concerned about profit, well, take a look at big abortion. As Americans don't want taxpayer money going to big tobacco, every American should be outraged that big abortion has received billions in public funds from politicians aligned with the DNC and its chairman. There's some things to think about. I hope you do. I hope you make the case for life every single day. The Tammy Jackson Show will be back next week with more great guests. Next week, I'll probably have two guests. Let's hope so. But thanks for putting up with me this last half hour anyway. Once again, this is Tammy Jackson, and I'm reminding you to wake up, to not be silent, to let your voice be heard, because we have a country to save.
I cut my teeth on the back of an old church pew. I learned to walk in the ways of light and truth, and I was told not to speak till I was spoken to. I heard it preached what I should and I should not do, and the choir sang. I tried to be a good boy, but I ain't a boy no more. I've seen some things that a man just can't ignore, and this world's gonna see I'm standing for. I've kept my peace, but I can't hold my tongue anymore. You can't buy my silence, you can't steal my voice, you can't keep me quiet. I will break the noise. Try to beat me down, tell me to shut my mouth, but there's a time to speak, and the oh,
I will